Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Carolina Shout podcast, the only podcast in the world where I, Ethan Uslan, play ragtime for you live here at home at my piano, and I talk about the music. Is there another podcast that does this? This American Life? Nope. Serial? Nope. WTF with Mark Maron? Nope. This is the only podcast in the world with live ragtime and commentary. I cornered the market. And you just heard me play The Invitation Rag by Les Copeland, published in 1911. Les Copeland was the piano player for one of the most famous traveling minstrel shows, Lou Dockstader's Minstrels. And on the cover of the sheet music, it says that Les Copeland would play The Invitation Rag at every show. And they had a lot of shows, so I think The Invitation Rag was probably heard by thousands of people in 1911. And now it's been heard by maybe hundreds of people in 2017. And every time I play that piece, The Invitation Rag, I can vividly imagine the minstrels doing goofy dances and clowning around and the audience laughing. And speaking of clowning around and being goofy, I'm joined today by a friend of mine, Brent Wadkins, who's from Iowa City, and he's a fellow ragtime piano player. We've been friends for over 10 years, and we first met on the internet when there was a Yahoo group for ragtime. And then we connected in real life many times, including in Peoria, Illinois, at the World Championship Old Time Piano Playing Contest. Brent has released two CDs called Heroes of Parlor Town, Volumes 1 and 2, both of which I wholeheartedly recommend. But at this point, Brent has not played piano in a long time. He's taken hiatus from it. He is now a filmmaker, and he's working on a documentary called A Hero Among Us, which is about the experiences of an Iowa World War II veteran. But prior to this project, Brent was one of the executive producers of the Entertainers documentary film, which is about ragtime piano players, and I'm in that film, so you should really see it. So after you listen to this podcast, I implore you to check out the Entertainers documentary on Amazon Prime. But before you do that, let me welcome Brent Wadkins to the Carolina Shout podcast studio. Welcome, Brent.
Well, thanks, Ethan.
You're welcome. Why don't you tell folks how you became a big ragtime fan?
Well, I'm a little older. I'm a baby boomer. And like a lot of baby boomer aspiring classical pianists, I got totally derailed by a movie that was released in 1974 called The Sting. And that movie featured the music of Scott Joplin. So it was a real revelation that such a music existed. And once I heard it, I was hooked.
I would like to know, even though you don't play piano anymore, you're still, you know a lot about ragtime. Do you have any favorite rags? And maybe I can play them for you.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, there are favorite rags, and then there are rags that I think are really great rags that I haven't gotten around to playing, and I kind of wonder why no one else has either.
I'll play them for you. Give me one, and we'll do this.
Okay. Well, let's start with a composer who, by the name of Paul Pratt. He wrote several different rags, but there's one that really stands out that was a part of the Stark catalog.
John Stark was the music publisher for Scott Joplin.
Okay. Right. Yeah. But he published other ragtime composers as well, and one of them was Paul Pratt. And one of the pieces that was in his catalog was Hot House Rag. And I first heard it, I first heard Wally Rose's rendition, and I was smitten.
Why do you like it? Besides, can you give me like some details?
Well, you know, the my tastes in ragtime and even like stride piano and kind of all of the piano styles that orbit around ragtime, I've always had kind of an interest in, it's hard to describe. The Germans actually have a term called Sturm und Drang. Sturm und Drang. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I remember that from college. I must have been not so hungover that day. I think it means storm And drama?
Yeah, storm and stress, you know, but the same idea. Yeah. And it was a part of a whole, you know, literature movement in the 18th century. And actually, the term was from a play that was written by Frederick Maximilian Klinger. But it was published in 1776, and it was about the American Revolution.
Oh.
So here we have this convergence of German literature and kind of an aesthetic about the humanist rationalism of the Enlightenment that would lead to not just the American Revolution, but the French Revolution, and all of this throwing off of the old and bringing in the new, and all of the, what do I want to say, the epic rise in emotion.
So you're saying that the hothouse rag
has
profound drama.
Yes.
That's like American Revolution type drama in it.
Yes, it'll make you march around the dining room table if you listen to it before breakfast.
And what's a hothouse? Do you know?
It's a greenhouse, like where you would grow tomatoes. I don't know why that is so dramatic. But to Paul Pratt, it was.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there a great Revolutionary War battle in a hothouse? No.
You know, I heard that the French would test the guillotine to see if it was sharp enough by placing a ripe tomato there. And if they could slice the tomato with the guillotine, it would do the job.
Oh. So those are some things to listen for as I play The Hothouse Rag by Paul Pratt, 1914. Published by John Stark Music in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'm going to try to put some Sturm und Drang into this. Not too much Sturm, not too much Drang, just the right blend. Here it is. And that was The Hothouse Rag by Paul Pratt, 1914. And Brent, I think you're right. That was very dramatic.
I don't, you know, call me crazy, but ragtime, which is supposed to be like the music of the ice cream guy who comes through, down the street and all happy, happy, joy, joy, right? There's a lot of great music. Great rags are in a minor key and actually have a lot of drama and, aren't just all happy, happy, joy, joy.
It's not happy, happy, joy, joy. You're right. It's more Sturm, Sturm, Drang, Drang. And you really feel the storm and stress that those poor tomatoes are going through when they're being executed.
Sliced by a guillotine.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great kitchen accessory, like a mini guillotine?
Well, they have bagel guillotines.
Well, there you go. There you go.
But as a piano player, I shouldn't use those kind of guillotine type
things. No, God, no. You wouldn't want to risk a finger loss.
No, no. You know, I've been on this Les Copeland kick recently. This guy, Les Copeland, totally obscure. And I'm just fascinated by him. And I played the Invitation Rag by him at the beginning of this episode. And I think he's just an interesting guy. Played with a minstrel show for several years. And then he went to Paris, where he was the toast of the town. And I got this book that was published in the 1930s by a bartender in Paris. And he was a bartender at the bar where all the Americans would hang out.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And Les Copeland was the piano player at this bar. And I've got the book right here. It's called This Must Be the Place, Memoirs of Montparnasse by Jimmy the Barman Charters. He was English. And he has chapters devoted to various personalities, and yeah, artists.
So who hung out at this bar?
Ernest Hemingway gets
Holy
a chip.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he gets it. Isadora Duncan.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's a chapter called Raconteurs, you know, and devoted to all the people that he met that were good raconteurs.
Storytellers,
right?
Ah, yes.
And then there's a chapter called Master Raconteur.
Ernest Hemingway, right?
No, it's not Ernest Hemingway. Oh. It's Les Copeland.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I think there's a chapter here called Alcoholics Can't Help It. I think that's the Ernest Hemingway. So I get to the chapter Master Raconteur about Les Copeland. And he basically says in the first paragraph, of all the people I met in this bar, the most entertaining person was Les Copeland. And as I'm reading this, I'm shaking with excitement.
I bet.
And then he says, I'm going to share with you some of the jokes that Les Copeland told. And
gold mine. Right.
I need a drink to steady my nerves. And I read these jokes. You want me to tell you one?
Sure. Go for it.
There once was a donkey who lived with many other wild donkeys on the arid deserts of Arizona, keeping body and soul together with the food gleaned from the sparse and prickly cactus. One day, a stallion came along, a fine big horse with glossy coat and sprightly step. "Hello, donkey," he said. "What do you live on?" And the stallion looked at the donkey's shaggy coat full of dust. "Why, I live on the cactus, like other donkeys around here," said the donkey. "You poor thing, you come with me, donkey. I'll show you how to live." "Okay," said the donkey. So off they went. They traveled for 3 days, and the stallion was surprised that the donkey could run so fast, but he didn't say anything. Finally, at the end of the third day, when they were well into Colorado, they came to a big field of clover through which ran a small brook of clear, cool, fresh water. On one side was a barn with straw, oats, electric fans for hot weather, stoves for cold weather, in fact, everything a horse or donkey could desire. "Here we are," said the stallion. "Now enjoy yourself." So for 3 days the donkey ate clover, slept on straw, and drank the fresh water. "How do you like it?" said the stallion, finally. "Okay," said the donkey. Another 2 or 3 days went by. "How do you like it now?" said the stallion. "Well, it's okay," said the donkey. "There's only one thing bothers me. Have you got any mares?" "You know," said the stallion, "yesterday I found a pasture over there full of bluegrass, the sweet kind they have in Kentucky. We'll go over there and try it." "I didn't ask about no bluegrass," said the donkey. "I asked if you had any mares." "Well, no." "Okay," said the donkey, turning on his head. "I guess it's back to the cactus for me. So long."
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in that one.
I don't know what to say.
Do you even get, I mean, you get it. Mare is like a female.
Yeah, I got it.
Is it female? Yeah. Not like a female, it's a female.
Yeah, it's just so innocent and sweet. It's not, I guess it's not the joke I'd expect from a bar.
A master raconteur.
In Paris.
This is what I did. I don't know if this joke is salvageable, but I'm going to, I believe in it. I believe it has potential.
If anyone could salvage it, I think you could.
Well, I'm going to turn it into a song and let's see if it works that way. Ready?
Oh, sounds great.
Good evening, everybody. Now, please pay attention. You're gonna want to hear everything that I mention. The story takes place neath the western sky, out in Arizona, among the cacti. You see, a donkey lived there, out in the sun. He was hot and sweaty. It wasn't much fun nibbling on cactus for his every meal. Boy, let me tell you, he got a raw deal. One day, in late July, a big black stallion came galloping by. He noticed the donkey standing by a rock, and he said to the donkey, "Boy, we need to talk." The stallion told the donkey, "You listen to me. I have some advice, and I'm sure you'll agree. It's hot out there, and not at all pleasant. Cactus and sand are the only things present. Follow me. Let's get away from here. Out to Colorado, where the skies are clear. There's a farm with green grass and a beautiful stream. You'll pinch yourself. You'll think it's a dream. There's a cozy barn with oats and hay. Electric fans to keep you cool all day. Life is so easy, it should be illegal. You won't have to eat another cactus needle."
Oh my
Donkey
God.
Agreed. Sounds like a plan. So the two of them formed a little caravan. They went to Colorado and made themselves at home and drank fresh water and had room to roam. But time flew by and a few weeks passed, and the stallion got up, decided to ask, "Hey, Mr. Donkey, don't you just love this place? Have you seen a more beautiful space?" The donkey replied, "It's just okay. I like the water. I like the hay. I like the weather and the cool fresh air. But I haven't seen a single mare." The stallion replied, "That's true, old pal. There ain't no mares at this here corral." So the donkey said, without a fuss, "I'm going back to the old cactus." So the donkey left the farm, as you should have known, back to the state of Arizona. He nibbled on cactus, happy as can be. And that is the end of my story.
Wow. That's amazing.
Thank you. I hope that made that, the joke a little better.
That breathes new life. New life into that old tale.
Okay, I don't think there's anything else to say about the donkey and the cactus.
No, you've definitely said it all.
All right, well, switching gears a little bit. Brent, you know, I travel a lot, and when I travel, I never stay in a hotel. I always stay in a brothel.
Oh, really?
It's cheaper to stay with relatives.
That's a Les Copeland joke.
Oh, my God.
That's another one in there.
Now, that's funny.
Thank you.
Thank you, Les Copeland. See, the trick there was I didn't let you know it was coming. I got you by surprise there.
I would, you know, I mean, that's a modern joke.
Maybe I could do a song about that joke too.
It wouldn't probably be the first rooted in a brothel. I mean, you know, yeah.
All right. I think that's enough Les Copeland for a while.
I definitely got my fill.
Something about those jokes and those stories with the music. It's the closest you can get to a time machine.
It takes you back.
Yeah. And I can, you know, I'll never be able to meet Les Copeland, but, you know, I can imagine what it was like in that bar with him telling jokes and
wouldn't it, I mean, to be a fly on the wall there, huh?
Yeah. Speaking of flies on the wall, Kate, would you roll the credits?
You have been listening to the Carolina Shout Podcast. Ethan Uslan is the piano player, host, and ombudsman. Kate Uslan is a recording engineer and the ombudswoman. Thanks to Brent Watkins for being a special guest today. Get hip to Brent Watkins' many artistic accomplishments. First, listen to his ragtime CDs called The Heroes of Parlor Town, Volumes 1 and 2. Then, watch the Entertainers documentary film, starring me, on Amazon Prime. You can watch it just for a couple bucks, The Entertainers. Then check out Brent's current project, A Hero Among Us, a documentary about an Iowa World War II veteran who had to cope with mental health issues before PTSD was known or understood. All of Brent's endeavors are of the highest quality, and you can't go wrong with any of his music or his films. Thanks also to Les Copeland for the invitation rag and the jokes. What? You want one more Les Copeland joke? You sure? All right, here's one more. There once was a farmer in Arkansas who fed his pig alfalfa. A second farmer saw him feeding the pig and said to him, "Why are you feeding your pig alfalfa? Why don't you just feed him corn? It'll take that hog forever to fatten up on alfalfa." So the first farmer just replied, "Who cares? What's time to a hog?" All right, well, I'm all out of Les Copeland jokes, for better or for worse, so stay tuned for next episode, where I hold a live seance and get Les Copeland to tell us more jokes through the Ouija board. It'll be a lot of fun. In the meantime, it's been a pleasure podcasting, but I gotta get back to the cactus.